This morning I thought we would look at our Old Testament reading from Micah 6, 1 to 8. I'm sure verse 8 is very familiar to many of you. In this passage, as God does in many of the minor prophets, he brings something before his people. Our translation gives us controversy. God is bringing a case. He's bringing an indictment, a dispute against his people. And throughout the Old Testament, throughout the prophets, that dispute, that case against the people is often the same. And that case is basically that the people have been unjust, that they have not taken care of those who are the poorest among them. They have not taken and watched out for the downtrodden, the weak. And not only that, but they have dwelt in extravagance beyond this. As people are, the poorest on the land, the other people are living in high extravagance. And then you add to this also the charge that the people are idolatries. They're worshiping idols. They're worshiping false gods, and they're muddying up what it is to truly worship the one true God. And so God brings against these people a dispute, a case. It's like God is a lawyer and he's bringing a case before them and they are on the defense. And God brings this case to them. And God understands the mentality of the people as they hear this case against them. And he understands that, well, these people feel wearied. They feel wearied by these commands that I have given to this people, as if it's too much to do. And so God lays his case out further, and he says to them in verse 3, "Oh, my people, what have I done to you? In what way have I wearied you? Answer me." And then God goes on to say, "Did I weary you when I rescued you out of the land of Egypt, when you were a slave for 400 years in the land of Egypt, and I brought you out of that slavery through great miraculous ways? Did that exhaust you? Are you wearied because of that? Or when a king of a foreign country hired a prophet to curse you, and I would not give that prophet any words to say other than extreme blessings upon you. Did that tire you out? When I did these amazing saving works for you, did that weary you? Was that too much for you to handle? Is that why you're so exhausted that you can't do good things for the people around you?" God has had enough of these people. He brings a case against them. And so then we hear the voice of the people. It's like, "Well, okay, God, back off a little bit. We understand. What can I do to make this right? What can I do to make this up before you, O Lord? What can I do to become righteous again, to earn your favor once again?" And they list off a bunch of things, asking, "Well, what should I come before you with, God? Should I bow myself before you? Should I come before you with burnt offerings, calves a year old? Would it be pleasing to you if I brought thousands of rams? Would that make up for my sin? Should I bring rivers of oil? Would that earn forgiveness for the wrong that I have done to you? Lord, shall I bring even my firstborn son? My firstborn child, would that cover the sin, the transgression of my soul?" And each question, it's all the same. What can I do to make this right? This injustice that I have done, what can I do to make this right? And so God tells them through the prophet Micah, verse 8, Micah says, "He has told you, you mortals. God has told you what is good. God has told you what the Lord would require of you. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. The people should know this. God has already told them what God requires of them, but they have failed to do it over and over again. When we hear verses like Micah 6:8, when we read the passage from Matthew and we see, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are those who are merciful, who are pure in heart, who are peacemakers. We often come before these passages with a wrong approach. And it's the same approach that the people came before Micah when God brought this accusation, this indictment against them. And that approach is, well, what can I do then to make this right? If we think about the psalm, well, what can I do then to live on God's holy hill? What can I bring before you, God? Can I bring more sacrifice? Can I go to church more often? Maybe if I don't miss church for a whole year, maybe that'll be good enough. God will give me His favor. God will give me His forgiveness if I do this. Or what can I do, God? Maybe I can go and volunteer some time at the food pantry or go door to door and get canned goods to supply the food pantry. Or maybe I can drive the widow across the street to Bismarck once a week for dialysis. What can I do, God, to make this right that I might be right before you? Our approach to Micah 6:8, our approach to Psalm 15, our approach to the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 is the same that the people approached the Lord, as though we are wearied of God. Okay, God, what can I do to make this right? There is great irony in the people's words, though. And when they're asking, what can be done to make this right? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Here they're reflecting the attitude of a lot of the people around them, because a lot of the pagan people around the Jews at this time would do exactly that. They would sacrifice their own children because they felt that their gods demanded it. The irony, though, is that this is exactly what God does for us. God brings His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for the transgressions, for the sins, for the iniquities of your soul. All that stuff that is so very deep down, it is a part of you. But Jesus doesn't just come down to the earth and die and then it's over with. Jesus first lives. First, Jesus does justice. First, Jesus loves kindness. And through it all, He, of course, walks humbly with the Lord. He not only obeys and lives the life that God has commanded His people to live, He also does it without sin. And every bit of that He takes to the cross. And it is killed there for you and I. We can't make it right, but Jesus does. Jesus asks of Himself, what can I do to make this right for this people that is so lost? And the answer is, you go to the cross. And so He does. What can we do to make it right? We can do nothing but believe and have faith in the One who makes it right for us. Because it is faith that justifies, faith that makes us right before the Lord our God. In Christ we are forgiven. He is the one that goes before the Lord on our behalf. Now, it would be easy to end a sermon right there and just be done, because that is the good news. But the fact remains that Micah 6:8 still leaves us with a command. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Without Christ, we approach this the wrong way. We approach this in a way where we ask, what can I possibly do to be right before God? But as people who believe in Jesus, and people who have been transformed and forgiven by the Lord and His blood shed for you on the cross, our approach is different. Because we no longer approach the commands of God and the ethical things that God asks us to do as people looking to earn God's forgiveness, but as people who have it. And people who now want to bring back something to God and through the Spirit want to obey the Lord. We are people who are already made right. And now we look to do what God has commanded us. We approach commands like Micah 6:8 under the power of the cross, under the power of the Spirit. And so we ask ourselves this morning, what does it look like to do justice? Does it mean joining in on the march for life and the right of the unborn? Does it mean taking in refugees who are being cast out, not welcomed? Inviting people in the name of Christ so that they might hear the gospel? Does it mean fighting for the rights of our neighbor who has been wronged in some way? What does it mean to love kindness as one who is forgiven? Luther defined loving kindness as goodness in action. How do we do goodness? Maybe that is going door to door and getting food for those in our community who really need it. And there are a lot of people who need it. Maybe it is taking our neighbor to Bismarck 3 times a week for dialysis because he or she really needs it. Maybe loving kindness is shoveling snow, and there's a lot of kindness that can be shown that way this winter. Loving kindness, there's an endless amount of things we can do to fulfill this command that God has given us in Christ's name. And finally, we ask ourselves, what does it look like to walk humbly with the Lord? To have compassion, to be a servant to others like Christ was a servant to us. How do we do these things as people forgiven, as people called by our Lord Jesus Christ? Let us pray. O gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the life that you have given us through Jesus Christ, the freedom you have given us, and that you have made us right, and that we have not made ourselves right by anything that we could ever have done or could do. O Lord, help us to do justice, whatever that might look like, to love kindness, to put our goodness into action, and to walk humbly with you, that we might be faithful and good ambassadors to those who do not know you, do not have faith in you, that they might come to know the one who gives life. We pray this in your name. Amen.